Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. Franco here in the studio alone as the only co-host in studio. But we have some good news. Habbo is at JPJ right now setting up to make a call from the arena itself, and we can't wait to hear his report live and on the ground. And I'm just giving the thumbs up that Habbo is at JPJ right now. Very quickly, though, before we go to Habbo, we want to announce that tonight we also have Chris Horn from the Saber coming on the show at the bottom of the hour to give us a complete summary of UVA football recruiting and all the news surrounding the Cavs and the late addition of the quarterback who transferred from Missouri. In studio with me is Darren Franta, and he is the man going to help me with the show tonight. So without further ado, Habbo is back on the air.
Yes. Good to be with you. Over here in the bowels of the JPJ, your friend Kristen Watkins using her office to call into the show tonight. So I appreciate the hospitality of the media relations people. They've been very gracious. So good to call in and talk a little basketball in front of a big game here at JPJ, a game that certainly, like so many games, is critical in the ACC standings. And I was thinking today, you know, 4 weeks from tomorrow is the beginning of the ACC tournament, so we're starting to jockey for position, and obviously the Cavs would love to be in that top four, you know, the teams that get the double bye. So,
yes.
And this, I think, is a big game in that regard against Louisville, so we would be a game up on them and have two wins over them, which is, in essence, two games ahead of Louisville. So it really is a big game. And, of course, you want to hold serve at home. That's one of the keys. And, of course, Virginia, unlike last year, has already lost a conference game at home, so they're hoping to avoid a second loss in the five remaining home games.
Good news, Habbo. This in from Vegas, the Wahoos have been installed a five-point favorite for tonight's game. Earlier in the day, they started out as a three-point favorite, but the smart money
is moving.
Has pushed the line to five. And here's an interesting stat, Habbo. I know you don't really track this, but in the last 19 games against the spread, which is known as ATS, the Wahoos are 13-5-1. That's not too shabby.
Not too shabby,
and I'm sure the line moved because of the suspension of the two Louisville players, Adele and I guess it's Mathang, both of whom play. Adele is actually a starter. He's their third leading scorer, averaging 11.1 a game, and he had 19 over the weekend against Boston College, and Mathang had 16 coming off the bench in 24 minutes. So these are not like walk-on guys that missed curfew and, you know, Rick Pitino left them at home. These are guys that were making significant contributions. So that's probably why the odds makers bumped up the line a little bit, or the bettors did. But still, Virginia's going to have to be ready to play. Certainly Louisville is going to be anxious to get a little revenge from the game that started ACC play for both teams back in late December, where Virginia just played outstanding basketball for 30 minutes and then managed to hang on in the last 9 or 10 minutes because of the lead they had built up to that point in time. I think they were up 21 at one point in time in that game, and Louisville made a little bit of a push, but was too much of a hurdle to overcome.
Final score in that game was 61-53, and for the record, right now, Pitino, he doesn't like playing against Tony Bennett's defense. He gets so frustrated. At one point in that game, he literally sat down and didn't talk for a long time. And you know that Pitino is an active coach. Habbo, this is a big stretch for the Cavaliers. You know, coming off a pretty significant run of Notre Dame, Villanova, Virginia Tech, and then Syracuse on Saturday. Here we have the Louisville Cardinals tonight, and then the Wahoos travel on Sunday to Virginia Tech in Bleaksburg. And then next Wednesday, the big game in JPJ when the Hoos will host the Duke Blue Devils. And
yeah.
So, and then obviously the Tar Heels are right after
Carolina
that.
Carolina right after that.
Yeah, Kay's back on the bench, and you have to assume Duke is going to start playing better at this point in time after going 4-3 under Jason Capel. So, but you know, as the coaches say, we'll worry about Duke next week. You got a lot of business between now and then. You know, and I think one reason Virginia matches up well, in my opinion, against teams that are not necessarily perimeter shooting teams. Louisville likes transition. They have athletes. They have big guys. They want to get out on live ball turnovers. So I think some of the keys that I wrote down against Louisville, you got to avoid those live ball turnovers where they get transition buckets that are easy buckets. You still got to guard the three. In the game in December, Louisville was only 2 of 14 from the three-point area. So hopefully Virginia will have success in that regard. And then my third key I wrote down, don't be charitable. In other words, try to limit the offensive rebounds, don't give them second-chance opportunities, and try to manage the free-throw line. You know, Louisville has guys that want to drive it to the rim and draw fouls. That is tough to do against Tony's defense. But, you know, one of the challenges seemingly for Virginia almost every game is they're having a negative differential on the free-throw line. So you got to at least keep that within reason so that you're not getting beat up too bad by a negative on free throw attempts and makes. So, but it should be another great crowd tonight. I would expect a great atmosphere. You know, the fun thing about ACC games anymore, you know, you play one and you think, well, you know, maybe the next one won't be so tough. Every time you put on the uniform, you're going out, it's a struggle in this league. Although, again, looking at the kind of the standings, it's starting to take shape. It looks sort of like Clemson, NC State, Boston College, and Pitt are going to be the bottom four. And my guess is North Carolina and Florida State are going to be among the top four as I look at their record and their schedule coming up. So as I look at it, Louisville, Syracuse, Virginia, Duke are the four teams that will be vying for those other two spots in the double bye top four situation. So that makes this game tonight and the one you referenced next Wednesday night against Duke really big.
Well, looking at Louisville's roster, Quentin Snyder will be expected to do a lot of shooting. That's number two is his uniform number. The two players that are missing are number 12 and Dang Adel, 22. So 12 and 22 will be out. It's interesting, Dang is the one that scores quite a bit more, whereas Mangok Mathang, he's 6'10", he does a lot of rebounding and shot blocking. This should open things up maybe a little bit more in the paint for both Salt, Reuter, and anybody else in there. Do you think Diakite, based on his good play up at the Carrier Dome, will get more minutes or maybe even start?
Well, I don't think he'll start, but he certainly might get some more minutes. But, you know, the other guy, they still have the Anas Mahmoud, the 7-foot guy from Cairo, Egypt. It really does look like international basketball here. You look at the lineups, Dang Adel is from Australia. You got Mahmoud from Egypt, and, of course, Jack Salt from New Zealand, and Merrill Shayok from Canada. So you got five countries represented in those starting lineups if Adele was playing tonight, which he obviously is not. But certainly matchups will be key. I think Jack Salt, I don't know that the big guy from the Mahmoud guy is necessarily a scorer. Looking at his line, he's only averaging about 6 points a game. So he's really more in there as a defensive presence and a shot blocker for Louisville. So, I think Virginia, and the other thing I would say based on some recent games, I would say focus for 40. You know, we've had some games, including the one at Louisville, where for whatever reason the team just seemingly loses its focus for 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes. And against this level of competition, you just can't do that. Now, oftentimes at home, you got the crowd to pick you up, which is a big, big help. So hopefully they won't go through an extended offensive drought. And, you know, defense is key in the Tony Bennett system, but you still have to score.
Well, two questions that come to mind watching the Cavaliers this season, and particularly over the last 2-3 weeks. He continues to play a pretty deep roster. Up there at the Carrier Dome, he played Wilkins, Salt, Hall, Parentes, Shayok, Guy, Jerome Diakite Reuter and Darius Thompson. Is that 9 or 10? I mean, he's still playing a lot of players. And Habo, in your experience, could that be some of the reason why sometimes there's a little lack of focus or cohesion or ability to maintain momentum?
Well, I think at Syracuse, what he was struggling with, and again, this is just my opinion, if you put a team on the floor that is your best defensive team right now, it may not necessarily be the best offensive team. You know, I think against Syracuse, he really wanted to get Kyle Guy in the game and Ty Jerome to have some additional perimeter shooting. But clearly, I think vis-a-vis Devin Hall, Darius Thompson, Mariel Shayok, those guys probably are not quite as proficient defensively yet. I think they will be. I think in Tony's system, it just takes a while to really understand, because it is a collective defense. You know, five guys moving in unison so that you don't give up gaps in the defense. But I think, you know, against that zone defense up there against Syracuse, and it was really hard, and we weren't getting anything close to the basket. And when we got opportunities close to the basket, we weren't converting for some reason. I wish Jack Salt, when he got it close to the basket, go up there and dunk the thing and be a little more aggressive going to the rim in that type of situation. Maybe at least you draw a foul.
Well, you know, that you bring up a great point. In the first few minutes of the game up there in the Carrier Dome, when Virginia was starting to pull away, I want to say it was maybe like 12-6 or somewhere in that range. Salt got a couple of passes down low, and he got stripped cleanly as he went up to the basket. I've never seen a big man lose the ball as easily going up to the rack when he's got both hands in the ball. And then he finally got fouled on the third attempt down low. He made one of two free throws. Later in the game, he got another pass down low and got summarily fleeced. He got fleeced. No call and no foul shots and no basket. What can Tony do and what can Jason Williford do to teach him how to just go straight up to the box and put it in there? All right. I think we lost Habo. All right. It happens. Sometimes it happens. We've still got a couple of minutes here in this segment, Darren. A couple observations. Number one, Salt is an excellent defender and a good defensive rebounder, and he gets his money's worth usually. However, on the offensive end, the reason he's not in the game late against Villanova and not in the game there late against Syracuse when the Cavaliers clearly needed a big man presence there.
Absolutely.
Is Salt is unreliable on the offensive end. Mm-hmm. All right, Habo's back. Habo, yep. You okay?
Yeah, I'm back. I think the media relations people need to pay their phone bill over here. I think that's what's going on.
No, I don't think that is. We were talking about Salt there for a second.
Probably got cut off somehow. But anyway, you were talking about Jack Salt. Sometimes you just have to have some drills where you get some coaches or people in there, just a couple of guys trying to strip the ball from him in practice.
Hit him with a broom or two.
Get him used to the idea that guys are coming after it.
That's what they did to Ralph. You know, back in the day, Ralph was so tall that the managers and everything had brooms, and they would swat at his hands and the ball, and you know, Ralph learned in a hurry he better strengthen his wrists and his hands so that he could always hold on to the ball. It's sort of mind-numbing. All right.
Relative to the question about depth and playing, you know, the one guy that clearly has emerged in recent games is Ty Jerome. I think he's going to play a lot because Tony likes to have him on the floor, and it gives London the chance to move to the off-guard position. Otherwise, a lot of it just depends on matchups. You know, when you're playing North Carolina, obviously we're going to have big guys on the floor to match up with a team like North Carolina. You know, but I think Virginia's best lineup may be four guards and one big guy, but against certain teams, you just can't do that.
How about final thoughts as we head to break here? How do you see this game playing out tonight and understanding that the Louisville team is without two of its regulars?
Yeah, I think with them being a little shorthanded and Virginia coming off a tough loss, hopefully the Cavs will be ready to go, and we do seem to have Louisville's number. It's a big game for both teams. I'm sure Louisville's going to really play hard, but this is a game that we have to have, particularly going into Blacksburg on Sunday. That's a tough venue, so you don't want to be going to Blacksburg on a two-game losing streak. So this one's really big, so we got to get it, and I think we will.
Well, how about we wish you well? I hope you enjoy the game, and hopefully the ride home, you want to have a chocolate milkshake and celebrate the win.
Well, you know, hopefully I'll be happy coming home. That's the main thing. You know,
there you go.
But anyway, you guys have a great rest of the show, and look forward to be back in studio next Monday.
Thank you. All right, we're going to head to break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about the rest of the ACC. We're going to talk about the LeClaire Ryan players of the games and touch on some other subjects relative to the University of Virginia. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.